Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
All right, I'm delighted to be joined in studio by Kieran Donaghy. How are you?
Not too bad, Nathan. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you, really? You were at a Gucci's testimonial last night.
Yeah, I'm not tired and emotional, but I'm tired. we were there last night. Look, it was absolutely outstanding. The whole production that was put together by Paul Burns. The High Kings were singing there. Barry Murphy was around the place with the German accent and the hat. And it was just very tastefully done. And it was just a great thing to be involved in, you know, the buzz. It was like, I said to Phil at the start of the night, I said, is this what it's like the morning of an All-Ireland? Just feels excitement around the place. People just were looking forward to it, and kind of, I suppose, a bit of the unknown about it. We didn't know what it was going to be, but it was a huge success. And I was talking to the Kerry Council link bus outside and someone from Crumlin, and they were just, you know, delighted with it. And, you know, obviously for them to be getting a lump of money, we all know how hard it is to raise money. So to be getting that was great. And Colin was class on the night, and he spoke unbelievably well at the end. And it was a resounding success, and lovely to be part of it.
The unknown factor, and the fact it was the first of its kind for GAA player, was probably part of the confusion and the controversy around it, that people were filling in the gaps as to what was going to happen on the night, and it's going to be just a room full of very rich people putting money in Gucci's pockets, essentially. Was it more a sportsman's dinner? Was it more a Kerry reunion?
It was kind of a bit of all that, like, you know, but you had people from all different sports, all different backgrounds. There was jockeys, there was soccer players, rugby players.
And were you all up on stage?
I was up on stage for a few minutes, with Sean O'Brien was above on stage, Ruby, Barry Geraghty, Niall Quinn, the Tullow Tank spoke very well. You could see, do you know what, it was actually nice. And you know, we obviously look up to all these guys, we'd see them as a level way above us because they're professional and they're getting paid. But to hear them last night was very much, they're all fans of us as well, as in they watch the GAA games because they all come from GAA backgrounds. And you Barry Geraghty and Ruby going against each other on stage, hopping ball about Meath and Kildare, and the crack was mighty, you know. But it was just a kind of a very enjoyable sporting night. The food was good, the music was good, the little bits of video done by Paul Byrne were excellent on him, you know, and down in Killarney and around the place with the kids, and, you know, asking the kids, what does Colin Cooper mean to you? And the range of answers left you in no uncertain terms. The esteem he's held in down there, and I think last night, looking at the crowd from all over Ireland, the esteem he's held in the country, so...
I had visions of Brawley being outside Father Ted, like, with the sign saying
down with this sort of thing not around here. I would love to sneak him in and fire him into the middle of it, because I know from past experience he would have enjoyed it, and he would have it might have given him a different outlook on it. Not changed his mind, because we know how strong minded he is, but it might have just given him a different outlook on you know, his thoughts, maybe, and he might have varied them after it. But, you know, for everybody that was there, and I don't think you'll meet one person that didn't have a great night, that didn't enjoy the whole thing. And to see Cullum do well out of it, and to see two charities do well out of it, and see his club and Kerry do well out of it, you know, it's massive. And
it's interesting to hear your reaction. And we had Paul Galvin in a couple of weeks ago, and very much along the same lines, that he was going along and he wanted to support Gooch, and he felt this was a great thing for Gooch and for the charities. And when I heard about it first, I was probably one of those who was probably a little bit on the fence as to, not that Colin Cooper doesn't deserve a testimonial, but why does just Colin
why
Cooper
is him and not people and, before and him or after
you go
him.
Look at someone like Declan O'Sullivan, and so Colin was played in a different position, got a little bit more of the limelight, probably in a similar position yourself. But the support, there didn't seem to be any sort of an issue from within the Kerry camp at all.
You could have silent people, you know, that wouldn't agree with it. But I would say, you know, I certainly didn't, and I know Paul didn't. And, you know, it's just different because it's new. And a lot of the times we're afraid of something new. And maybe you should kind of actually embrace something new and see where can it go and what can it do. But you know, like, you know, obviously you have to have the profile of a player to get 500 people into a room, and to get people to back it and so on and so forth. And, you know, Cullum is held in that, just like Stephen Cluxton will be, just like Bernard Brogan, just like any of the Kilkenny hurlers. You know, I think, you know, this was brought to Cullum by a businessman and someone who said, you know what, this would be a nice touch for you and it'd be a nice send off and blah, blah, blah. And I think, you know, Cullum was just, as he always is, he's brave enough in most of his decisions. And he said, yeah, let's go for it. And of course, there was a bit of hysteria around it. But at the end of the day, it's a young man who's given, you know, and like the loads of other fellas who've given a pile of time and didn't get a testimonial, but he gave a pile of time and he got a testimonial, and happy days if the rugby players and soccer players do them, making the money they do, if a GA fella can, you know, help pay mortgages, help with family, putting kids through college out of an event like this, happy days.
And if only there was another high-profile Kerry player maybe coming towards the end of his career over the next couple of years.
I'm picking dates on my own. No, I'm only joking. No, I think Cullum...
Were you schmoozing around last night?
I think I'm well-liked in Kerry, and, you know, there'd be a certain amount of people that mightn't be too fond of me outside of Kerry. So I know where I am in the game and what my profile is. Cullum is Cullum, and it was a lovely send-off.
We're not actually here to talk about football. We're here to talk about basketball, because one of the reasons you're in Dublin this weekend is that you've a game tonight with Garvey's Tralee. You're playing Colchester.
Yeah.
So your return to basketball over the last couple of years and back playing Super League basketball, how enjoyable an experience has it been at this stage, where you're probably at a stage of your career where you can actually look around and take it all in?
Yeah, it's do you know what it is? It's unbelievably enjoyable. The pressure that comes with being an inter-county Kerry player and the big games, you know, and for 13 or 14 years now, all them big games coming, and the pressure and the high of the victory afterwards and the low of the defeat afterwards. Whereas, you know, basketball is very enjoyable for me. You know, I don't like to lose. People know that. So if I'm losing a league game somewhere, I'd be like a pig afterwards and like a pig driving down the car. And then, you know, the next morning I'll wake up and I'll see my two girls and it'll be kind of just forgotten about, and there'll be another game next week to play. Whereas often with the football, you can finish and there's no more, you're out of something, it's the end of you're dissecting it for 2 or 3 weeks afterwards. It's kind of tormenting. But for me, the basketball is just so enjoyable. And what's going on in Kerry and in Ireland at the moment in the game is exciting. It's getting far more profile. People are running stories on it. You're having me in here today to talk about it. I think there's a genuine interest starting to become in the top league in Ireland. The crowds that we're getting to the game in Tralee, and crowds are on the rise at every venue. But look, we're very lucky in Tralee that the town are backing us, and that there's an atmosphere. And if you're ever down our way on a Saturday night and you're in Tralee and you go to a game, all I can promise you is that you won't be disappointed, and you leave kind of going, geez, that's kind of cool, that's kind of good. And that's what we want for the kids around that are playing the game of basketball. And
you've sort of become the standard bearers, it seems, in Tralee. Go back to the amalgamation then of St Brendan's and Tralee Imperials and coming together as Garvey's Warriors over the last year or so. St Brendan's, Tralee Imperials, would there have been a huge rivalry? Would there have been a split going back decades that these two clubs could never come together?
Yeah, kind of. It was like Kofi Annan and the peacekeeping talks for a long while, trying to get them together and trying to get them to see the fact that they probably couldn't go to the top league in Ireland. We're a small town. They couldn't go to the Super League by themselves, and more or less kind of put your differences aside. And, you know, Imperials have about 400 kids playing basketball with them, which is unbelievable. And Tralee, St Brendan's have about 380, I think. So probably more now, actually, that was the numbers that were there when I was starting this, but I think there's far more now. But I think they could see that they were doing massive work with their kids. It was all work, and it was try and beat them, try and beat us. But actually, there's a far bigger picture there, and I was trying to explain to them that as a 12-year-old, I was in the Tralee complex watching the Tralee Tigers. Garvey's response was then to Garvey's Tralee Tigers were the team, and just looking up at them and looking at these big men coming over from America, dunking it, and looking at the crowd and the passion. And it was a big thing back in the day to go up and there'd be a few girls around the place and, you know, there was a bit of crack outside afterwards, and that was going on too. So it was an event that I just wanted to bring back, because I said we're training our kids night and day, but actually, what do they have to look up to?
There's no end goal.
They can't look up to LeBron James. You know, it's not realistic for a kid from Ireland to be looking at LeBron James going, I want to be him. But can they look at someone like me in a hall in Ireland and say, geez, I could play that level, and the crowds are important because nobody wants to be out there playing in front of 50 people. You know, we're getting 900 to 1,000 people crammed into a hall in Tralee. And, you know, kids will look at that and say, geez, I want to do this. Just like kids would watch Stephen Cluxton for Dublin and say, geez, I want to play. I want to practice my goalkeeping skills. I want to play. There's something there for them at the end. And look, that's what we try to do in Tralee. We brought together a great committee, Terry O'Brien, my old chairman from our Tigers days. I wanted to get him involved as kind of a neutral. Yeah. He's a politician too, so that helps because he's good in the old peacekeeping talks. And it was the two clubs put their grievances aside, came together, and, you know, United Strength is Stronger is our logo at the moment, and it's just about, you know, everybody being in it together. Yeah, they still play against each other and they still want to beat each other, but they know that, you know, they're trying to get to 16 or 17 and spot kids with talent, and if they're really good, they can go to college in the States and get an education out of it and maybe go on further. And if they're not at that level, they can play in the Super League, you know, and if they're not Super League level, you know, they can still play away, but there's something there for them to strive for.
How deep was your involvement in basketball in Tralee from, say, when you won the National Cup back in 2005 to this amalgamation during those winter months? Was there always an involvement?
There wasn't, no. I kind of, you know, I was in a bit of damage in my cartilage and my knee, and the doctor at the time was kind of saying, listen, you know, if you keep pounding the courts every winter and pounding the pitches every summer, you're not going to be around for too long. So I took that as just a bit of a warning. I put my body through a fair bit going from football training into a basketball game and vice versa. And so it was just a kind of case of I had to just give it a break, and started up my basketball camp in 2013. And, you know, I could see, you know, over the last 2 or 3 years, I could just see the numbers and the interest, and you start seeing it so much on your phone, on Twitter, and you're kind of saying these kids are getting to know the game through Twitter. And, you know, if we can get something together and make it a show was my big thing to the club at the time.
Right.
Was like,
by getting to know the game, do you mean that they're not just coming to the camp at the weekend, they're watching the NBA during the
absolutely,
week?
Absolutely.
They're getting to know the players, the personalities.
Absolutely, that's exactly it. You know, when we were young, I was getting a cassette tape from Shawnee Burrows, you know, and it was put it into the VCR and there could be 4 games, Milwaukee Bucks versus the Boston Celtics. You'd see Larry Bird and you'd watch the game, and I'd go outside and I'd be 4 hours pounding around the basketball because I wanted to be Larry Bird. Whereas it's a lot easier now for these kids. They're getting it bang, bang, bang to the phone. So, you know, I just think the game is starting to, it's a great game. It's an absolutely outstanding game for kids. Boys and girls can play it. They're always warm. They're in a hall. There's not much danger in it. There's not much contact in it. You know, people think it's non-contact, but I can tell you it's far from non-contact. But, you know, they're not going to get hurt playing it. They're indoors. It's nice and warm. They get to run up and down. Exercise for kids, as we know, is so important now. It's been highlighted a number of weeks ago with the results in PE classes and how the kids aren't getting enough exercise. So, you know, for we have academies down. Brendan's and Imperials are running academies now with 5 and 6 year olds, and I'm going down every once in a while to give them a hand. And, you know, the numbers of kids at 4 and 5 around the hall bouncing a basketball is just hugely rewarding for me. And, you know, I think the country is starting to, it's starting to get big. It's starting to get big. You know, Dublin have a lot of strong clubs up here, but you just see by the numbers that, you know, they're it's a game where, and it's a game too that doesn't really clash with too many others. You know, it's you know, the thing is play basketball in the winter, play football in the summer. That's, you know, I think the basketball hugely complements being a footballer. And, you know, I think as a way to stay fit and as a way to improve your hands and your vision and your decision making and all that kind of stuff, that, you know, you can't beat it for a game to do that. And you know, if you're going to get injured, you're going to roll an ankle, or you're going to, you know, it's, you know, you're not picking up too many big contact injuries. Yeah. So it's massive.
The decision to get back involved then, and it seems you were very central to the amalgamation and getting the Garvey Warriors team together to be a Super League team. Was that you coming from high performance, elite Kerry setup, thinking, if I'm going to go back playing basketball, I want it to be at the highest level, and I want to bring basketball in Tralee to the level I know we can get to?
Yeah, I think, you know, probably was a bit controversial, to be honest. I went up and did a presentation to Basketball Ireland, and I told them the story. I've kind of told you there, the kids are massive numbers. We actually had very good young players playing in Tralee, and we 2 or 3 of them playing with different clubs because there wasn't a Super League team in Tralee. So, you know, I saw this and I saw it as an opportunity to bring a team to the floor that had 9 or 10 local kids from Tralee boys, and then you're, you know, you're American and you're a Bosman player or whatever. So we saw the talent we had, and we kind of, you know, I was kind of like you said, like, I don't think, you know, and I said this to them at the time, that if we're going to do this, and I know it's out of the norm, and thankfully it actually wasn't against the rules, but for us to come from nowhere and just go straight into the top level in Ireland, and we were lucky that they needed a team or two to put up the numbers. Yeah. And I was telling them, we're going to pack out the hall every night in Tralee. We won't let you down on the court.
How did you know you were going to pack out the hall every night?
I just knew it. And to be honest, I was inside in a team meeting, inside in one of these meetings, trying to get the thing together. And I was, you know, telling people, we're going to get 800 into the hall, and we're going to have this. And they were laughing. They were saying, there's not a hope, Kieran, and we're going to get 200. And then after a year or two, we're going to be getting 100, and you're going to be struggling financially to keep going. And, you know, whereas we're nice and solid now, and we're not taking any risks. And I was like, lads, you know, you're not going to get anywhere in life if you don't be taking a risk. And I said that the players are here, and if we make it a show, and that's what, you know, that's what I preached, and I'm hoping Basketball Ireland will maybe put something in place to help other clubs create a show like this, because we've families coming to games in Tralee, like, and you see them after the game, and they're just the mom, the dad, the kids, they're just buzzing. It's just smiles. There's lights off, there's smoke machines, there's lasers around the hall, there's national anthems, there's a live singing of the national anthem, there's music at half time, there's kids playing at half time in front of 1,000 people, 8-year-olds running up and down, all killing each other, trying to show off and trying to score, trying to make it their big day. But just literally that buzz that it's created. And, you know, I think anybody that has come down, and a few have come down from the media and gone away and written stories and gone on radio and said, you know, that it's an unbelievable atmosphere. And if we can try and make sure that all the teams are getting the help to figure out how to do that, you know, you get out in the community, you get to the kids, you get coaching the kids, you get the Americans out to the play, out to the schools, and you get the American going, we're playing Saturday night, we'd love if you came up and supported your local team. That's how you do it. And you get interest, and you get on radio, and you get on your local paper, and you work as hard as you can to get promotion, and for you to be doing something like this today is unbelievable for the game, because it's raising the profile of it. And, you know, we need that from all radio, all press, you know, TV. We need to, it's one of the highest played game numbers wise games in the country outside of the big two, obviously. And it's getting there, and we're trying to push it. And it's just a good time to be involved. And very glad that we made the decision to headhunt the Super League and get the top league back to Tralee. And I think, and you ask any players from any other teams around Ireland, and after last season, that they're all either looking forward, or they have played us down there already, or they're looking forward to coming this season. And we've teams now that are coming and staying overnight, because they know it's kind of like a cup final in the middle of the year. They're getting to play in front of massive crowds, so there's a buzz afterwards. We bring them down to the local bar or the hotel, you know, and get them in and get them sandwiches and get them a few drinks and show them Tralee and get them out to the bars and get them out to the pubs and get them out to the people. And, you know, they go home on Sunday morning slightly, like myself this morning, with a small bit of a pain in their head, but that they're going up the road, and that they're, you know, they're saying, geez, I can't wait to go down to Tralee again next year. And that's what we want all teams to be thinking every Saturday night. Can't wait to go to Dublin, can't wait to go to Galway, can't wait to go up to Belfast. That's what we're looking for.
It's an incredible success story. If you're getting 1,000 people on a Friday or Saturday night to go and watch a basketball game in Tralee, I wonder, there's advantages to being a new club. You can start at the beginning, and then you look at some of the older names that are in the Super League, and maybe they're stuck in a rut somewhat, and maybe a lot of those players would love to have that sort of behind-the-scenes action. It's not easy, though. How did you know? When you're putting this club together, you're probably not sitting down going, we're going to have smoke machines on a Saturday night, we're going to have
a
disco field. Right.
That's what I was saying. I literally had this thing in my head, because I've been to NBA games.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the NBA games, a regular season game in the NBA, the players really, they have 82 of them. You know, they could be sick, they mightn't be in the farm for it. You know, I was at a game one time, the Celtics, and Paul Pierce was playing. I couldn't wait to see him. You know, he had a flu, he was playing, he had 6 pints, he didn't really make much of an effort, and I kind of left kind of going, jeez, I'd be disappointed, but if that wasn't such a good night around it.
Yes.
It was cheerleaders, and they were firing t-shirts with these slings into the crowd, and there was jumbotrons, and we're doing the cheapest possible version of an NBA game. If anybody out there would love to donate a jumbotron to the complex, we'd take it. But
it's such a good lesson, because, like, I've been to see the Celtics as well at the start of the season, and ultimately the result doesn't massively matter. If you lose one game, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. You're out again maybe the next night or two nights later. But it's packed. There's 22,000 people there.
Yeah.
And regardless of the quality of the game, they leave entertained.
They do. They do. And that's literally it. That's it in a nutshell. You have to get people to go out on a Saturday night, as you say, at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock and bring their young kids. You know, it's a lot to ask to bring them out and sit down and just sit there for four quarters and watch a basketball game. But, you know, Garvey's do a half-court shotting, which is hilarious to see some of the temps now, but in front of the crowd, and you're out, and it felt like, I've talked to the fellas after they did it, and they said, jeez, I was not shitting it when I was out there, like, you know. But, you know, a half-court shot at the end of the third quarter, kids playing at halftime, national anthem singer. You know, you think... And you might be right about the historic clubs around the Blue Demons. They in fairness, they get massive crowds, but I still think we could all do more with the show. And that's what I said to the club when we were in these meetings, is this has to be more than a game. And my reference point for that was when Garvey's won the league in 1995-96, the first time Tralee won the Super League. And it was kind of more or less kind of just four quarters of a game most nights. But for this final game, they were getting the trophy in the night. Budweiser were the sponsors of the league that time. So they obviously came down. They said, look, we want lights and we want lasers and we want the hall to go dark when the players are coming out. And we're going to give them loads of T-shirts and they're going to have socks, Wilson socks. I remember going over to the bench halfway through the game and starting to shove Wilson socks underneath my jumper. I think I still have some of the pairs of the Wilson socks. But I left about 2 stone heavier because I was weighed down from them, because I was like, you know, I was a young fella kind of going, jeez, there's loads of socks here. This is great. The boys don't even care. They're after throwing half them out into the crowd. So the buzz that night and the lights out for the team, and we were Tigers then, so it was the eye of the tiger came on, the whole gym went dark. I was 12 kind of going, what's going on here? And spotlight hit the door and then smoke machines went off. The boys ran out and they ran out, did a lap of the hall throwing stuff into the crowd, and the game was on. They were playing local rivals, Killarney Lakers at the time, and St. Paul's Killarney, and it was, you know, the buzz inside there more so that night than any other night. And I was kind of going, if we ask the right people and we get a good young DJ that wants to promote himself and get in for 4 hours on a Saturday and do a real good job with the show, you know, can we get a light off somebody? Can we get somebody to sponsor? Like, can we get some fella to sponsor a smoke machine for a few hours? Can we get, you know, can we get the lights off in the complex? Oh, no way, we can't turn off the lights in the complex. Health and safety. And I said, lads, hold on a minute. Yes, can we not go up there some night and check it out? We all went up there, hit all the lights and the whole place went dark. Hit it 2 minutes later, the whole place was bright again. We're like, we can do this. So it was about, you know, like that was the big thing. And, you know, basketball is a great game to watch as well. So if they're getting that bit of a show, and you might be a parent and your 8-year-old is out running around in front of this crowd and he's getting a huge buzz and he's hyper at home for the next few days and he wants to go to the game next week because it was so magical for them. That's how I knew we could do it and get the crowd, and that's how I knew we could get them back.
I want to go to Tralee and watch one of these games now.
Yeah, I want you to too. I'll bring out your whole team.
Yeah, we might. We must do it some weekend.
Yeah, please.
You're taking a lot on your shoulders here, and it's not something we usually get from current sports people. There's a well-worn track of you play, you focus solely on your playing career, and at the end then you might decide to give something back and get into the administration side. You seem to have taken a huge amount of responsibility on for not just basketball in Tralee, but promoting basketball in Ireland. Do you feel that? Do you feel with the profile that you have, you need to get out there, you need to let people know?
Yeah, I just think, yeah, I if I didn't want to do it, I wouldn't do it, but I want to do it, and I want to do it for the game, because the game has given me everything. You know, people might think football has given me everything, but the fact that it was actually basketball that I was really good at, and basketball helped me so much out on the football pitch, it's kind of, in my eyes, in my head, in the back of my head, I think basketball has given me the platform to go on and play for Kerry. You know, basketball, I was able to captain my country as a 16-year-old. I love it. I love the game. And I think it's the concept of the game is brilliant to me. And it's a bit of responsibility, but, you know, I'm lucky enough to be in a position where I can promote the game. And, you know, have worked tirelessly, you know, along with a great committee in Tralee to just try and promote it. And, you know, I see stuff going on Twitter now with other clubs, and it's getting good, and there's banter going on and people are noticing it and writing stories about it. And so it's just, yeah, we want to raise the profile of the game, because we don't get much profile from, you know, we don't get much profile in the game, and we've some excellent young basketballers. I believe your man was on last night, and I can't think of his name now, but he was on
the Late Late Show.
6'10" from Dublin, you know, looking to go to the NBA. Like, if this kid can get to the NBA, you know, basketball in Dublin is going to go through the roof, because all of a sudden we have one of our own men over there. Mm. And, you know, he's just, you know, he's supposed to be unbelievable. I'm watching clips of him on YouTube the whole time to keep an eye on him. And I just think it's, to have someone like that, I'll be kicked to the curb if this fella comes along, because I think his profile will be far higher than mine. But yeah, look, I have an opportunity to try and promote the game. Obviously, I work tirelessly at it and at it in Tralee. But if it's just Tralee, it's never going to work. Whereas if all the other teams can, you know, if sponsors can get, like, yeah, sponsors get involved, if it gets more publicity. So if you're giving it more publicity, all of a sudden the sponsors are going, Jesus, we could get, you know, our scores are being called out every Sunday morning. It's just, it's raising their brand. They want to get involved with it. And then hence, when they get involved with it and give a club money, now a club has more money to resource to the kids, to put on more of a show on a Saturday night, to maybe pay an American to come over to look after a Bosman if there's a European guy with a European passport around that wants to play. That all costs money. It's a very, you know, it's
do you get paid?
No, not a penny.
So it's a mix. All the teams are a mix of players.
All the teams are literally 10 Irish guys that
are amateurs.
Amateurs train 4 nights a week, drive up and down Lytton Brent to the country. And your foreign guys, your American gets paid, and he's the only one. And we've an American coach that gets a few bob as well. But it's And that's the way it is for every team, but it is a costly league to play. And if you think of the travel that's involved, if you think of the
especially from Tralee, where every trip is probably an hour and a half, two hours.
It's, you know, when they were calling out the numbers at the start of the year, what this year was going to cost, it was a bit intimidating, I won't lie, because I was kind of saying, Jesus, you know, we're knocking down doors. But, you know, everybody that sponsored the team last year, literally when I went back to them this year about going again, was just sign us up, because they got such a... you know, they were bringing clients to the Brendan Hotel, got involved this year. They were bringing people down that were staying and bringing people into the game. And, you know, it was just the crowds and, you know, the buzz around it was so high that both Garvey's and all our other sponsors from last year just came. Literally, I went out and said, you know, with the season, we won the Champions Trophy. It was died down. I was back in the football a bit. Next thing, the summer came and the club were kind of going, right, here, and we need... start flying Americans over, flying coaches over, getting accommodation, money for things. So I was like, okay, lads. So we went on a bit of the calls and going around to them and a bit of bartering, you know, yourself, trying to get a few bob more. And they were all signed up straight away. So that was us knowing that we have this money now that we can go fly these guys in, we can go pay for permits, visas, all that. So it was a bit scary to start the year, but to see it up and running now is massive.
I feel as though you should be made some sort of national entertainment correspondent for smaller sports in Ireland, because what you've done in Tralee feels as though it's something that you could go to League of Ireland clubs with and say, well, why aren't crowds coming in a Friday night? Well, you can't bring your 10-year-old to the Jacks because literally you wouldn't bring him in there.
Yeah.
It's freezing cold. Offer them something. Yep. And every single sport can probably learn a little bit of something from what you're doing down in Tralee. You're a couple of things going on at the moment. You got your camp in Tralee next week. It's sold out?
Yeah, it's full, and it's... something I love to do every year. I was actually telling a fella yesterday that I'm so hoarse after the first day now that I'm going to try and get one of these wireless mics. So when I'm addressing the kids at the start of the, you know, by come Friday, literally they'll be laughing at me. I'll be trying to talk to them in a group. You know, I do a talk to them every morning. Not even basketball stuff, just how to be a good person, how to be responsible, how to respect elders, how to be good around kids. I'm big in, you know, non-social media bullying, kind of telling kids just, listen, it's the wrong thing to do, and it reflects really bad on you. You don't see it now, but you look back in 5 or 10 years and you go, oh my God, what was I doing that to that poor young fella or that poor girl? So I kind of give them a bit of a lecture every morning, I would call it, but it's me trying to impart some, you know, and they might listen to me, whereas if it's a teacher or a parent, they're like, oh yeah, whatever. I don't mean any disrespect to parents or teachers out there, but you know what I mean? It's a person that is... you know, out there, you know, and when I'm talking to them and addressing to them, I know they're listening to me, and it's just, you know, Martin Donnelly helps me out with gear for the kids. They all get gear. They all get a basketball. My big thing is everybody gets a basketball, because yeah, there's 4 days to the camp, but I actually want you to go home and work. And you know, we've got unbelievable coaches. We have a girl called Nikki Nellen coming from, she was an assistant coach at Marquette University, which is a huge college in America. She's coming over. She runs camps for Marquette during the summer. So she's coming with big ideas for me on how to how to you know, make sure the camp is, you know, at the highest level possible. We've Trey Pemberton, who got Irish Player of the Year last year, Mark Burnson, who's coached abroad in Europe, in college, Division One college in America. Then we've the players, myself, Goran, Duzan, Vinnie Murphy, Gary Murphy. So we've a load of coaches, and I make sure that, and we really work with the kids. I was at a few other camps. I won't go into who ran them or who, but I just thought it was very much a kind of, they get their bit of gear and then the camp was on. I was watching a Gaelic football camp with kids playing a crossbar challenge and in the first day, and I was kind of going, lads, and they were all lined up in the line and put down the ball and have a go and walk, and they're all back in the back talking. Whereas my thing is, there's loads of coaches, there's loads of little groups, they go around and it's 10 minute stations, 10 minutes defense, 10 minutes rebound, 10 minutes this. And then, of course, I'm big on fun for the kids. So, to have that and have the Belfast Hall of Fame Classic come in. And
yeah, talk to us about that. You mentioned American college basketball. Prices,
yeah.
You've got four teams from the NCAA coming over.
Yeah, I know. It's exactly. It's on in Belfast. It's like I said yesterday to Phil, it's like two Christmases for me to have this coming on, to have.
When is it?
December 1st and 2nd in Bovin, Belfast. 15,000 at the games on Friday night. 15,000 at the games.
In the Odyssey.
And, yeah, absolutely. And it's, to have that coming to Ireland is another feather in our bow and another fact that the game is starting to take off, and it's always been a huge game in Ireland. And we know the glory days of the 80s. And, I still watch that documentary to get ideas from a fella called Jackie Sloan, who was Burgerland's man and he was Vincent's man. He wanted the big Americans, the dunks, the crowds, the dancers, all that kind of stuff. So Kieran Shannon wrote a book a few years ago called Hanging from the Rafters. And I read it and I read that chapter 3 or 4 times. And to be honest, that was a lot of my idea about going and getting the two clubs together and having a Super League team again. I felt that I learned something from this guy and I was like, Jesus, do you know what? We could maybe do this in Tralee, reading all the little bits and pieces. Like, yeah, we could do it. I know it was brilliant back in the day and I know the game is kind of at a low point now, but there's too many people around the country. There's too many parents and coaches putting in massive effort to young kids not to have them have a league that's there, that is high profile and that they want their kids to strive for. And they want to be able to say, my child plays with the Garvey Street Warriors, my child plays with Colester, isn't it great? They were on the radio last night, there was bits on the, that's what we want to try and get it to, and that's what we're working to. But this event is, I feel this event is going to just catapult the game even further. To be a part of it and to be helping promote it. And one of the universities is LaSalle University, and there's a lad called Keno Sullivan, a 7'2" kid from Tralee, who, not the Dublin footballer, a 7'2" kid from Tralee who is over there playing college basketball. He's going to be playing up here in the day. We've busloads going from Tralee because he was in Mount Hawk as a 7. Everybody knew him because he was 7 foot, but he's only 18. And, yeah, absolutely. And he's massive. He was down the hall.
Can he play football?
I don't think so. I don't know, but I wouldn't like if he was full back of me because I wouldn't catch any high ball. That's one thing for sure. But he's a massive man. He's looking forward to it. Coming back to his homeland, he's telling the players, you're going to be in for some few days above in Belfast, and talking to people in Cork and Dublin, the crowd that is travelling from all over the country to get to it, to make it a huge success is hugely exciting and rewarding to see. And if we get two good semi-finals on the Friday night, the Saturday is going to be ramped up and tickets are flying. But Ireland, they're selling and they're saying and they're going to be sold over a certain date, and I'm kind of going, Irish people know they're going to wait till the Thursday night before and go, oh yeah, we'll go up to that game, yeah, we'll go over to that game. And next thing, the tickets will be sold out and they won't get it. So it's I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. As I said, it's going to be a great 2 days for the sport in Ireland, for basketball Ireland, for tourism in the country, tourism in Northern Ireland. It's to have this show, and it's a show because 4 college basketball teams is no joke to get them to come over from America during season. I think it's the first official NCAA college basketball tournament to happen, over here in Europe, and we're setting new boundaries, and to have it happening in Ireland is massive.
So things are going well this season. You've had a good start to the Super League season. You're still in the cup in the quarterfinals. You're going to be playing basketball deep into the spring. Go on, give us the scoop. Is this the basketball just a warm up for one final crack at it with Kerry?
Do you know what it is? It is keeping me fit, keeping me agile. I've a few scans coming up in the body, issues with my knee and my back, and that'll determine a lot. They're coming up in 2 weeks. That'll determine a lot of what I'll do. But I'm trying not to think about it, even though it's hard, because it's something that you've been doing for so long, and to think that you're going to go away from it is hard to accept, but that's the reality. But just, you know, this keeps me going, this keeps me energised, it keeps me positive, it keeps me keeps my competitive juices flowing.
It means you're not out in the piss and rain on January and February.
Yeah, well, look, I was never, the boys will tell you that, it was always, that time of year was always a slog for me. I'd no problem rolling up the shoulders, but the thoughts of it all day, and I'd be 12 o'clock, I'd be like, going, oh no, it's training tonight and it's going to be a torturous session and run around in muck and gutter. And yeah, so it's for me, it's the basketball is just is 4 nights a week, keeps me really sharp, keeps me fit, and keeps me motivated and keeps competitive juices flowing, because I need that, you know. If it wasn't that, I'd be trying to cajole fellas to go out on the golf course to try and beat them in golf. But I need to be involved in something that there's a bit of pressure in and that I'm trying to get a result in, and you know, whether that be with work or with sport, I'm competitive, and you know, I want to try and we want to try and win things in whatever I'm doing. So that's what we'll be trying to do. We're as you say, we're the cup quarter final away to Demons below in Cork on the weekend of the 9th and 10th of December, which is going to be huge. There is 4 buses already from Tralee,
right,
booked up. How they did that, I don't know, really, to be honest. But I think once the draw was made, it was seen as Demons were going to play in Cubs. Cubs are one of the weaker teams at the moment. And we kind of knew Demons would win, so we kind of sold it that it's going to be Demons, going to be in Cork. They beat us there the first game of the season. We haven't lost since. And that's a real, that's going to be a barn burner, as they say, over in the States, down in Cork. And we just can't wait to take the battle to them, because they've got an unbelievable team. They've Colin O'Reilly, who's one of the best basketballers this country's ever produced. He's back coach, player coach for the team. And they've got their American that they were very successful with a few years. He's back. And they just got, you know, they're Kyle Horsfords, the O'Sullivans. They've got guys that are actually basketballers 24/7. We're a bit funny that way with Garvey's, because we have we've 2 scratch golfers who, you know, practically pros, can hit the life out of the ball. So they go golfing for the summer.
Right.
I'm off playing football. There's other fellas doing other things, but we're not one of these teams that kind of like don't finish the season and says, right, lads, we'll go training once a week. No, we'll tip away. It's very much a...
You switch off.
Switch off. And yeah, we start around July. We started around with just a bit of shooting one morning a week, just to keep some bit of touch, because I'm not the greatest shooter anyway, I know that, and far from it. But, you know, when I went back playing, I had fierce trouble. That was one trouble I had. I still had the mobility, I still had the desire to get rebounds and get layups and score and work and outwork fellas and play defense and all that. But the outside shot, I hadn't shot a ball for 7 years, unless it was maybe over in the streets in Miami or New York or somewhere on holidays playing a bit of pickup ball. But I hadn't actually played the game in Ireland for about 4 or 5 years. So, you know, that's only starting to come back to me now, and it's getting there all the time. And the Irish basketball, you know, I'm a part of that squad, even though I couldn't put in much commitment last year, obviously, with the football. So,
but next year is the big year for that.
That's going on out in San Marino European Championships, which is great to be involved in. So it'll be, you know, it's busy, and I'm busy, and you know, I kind of more or less told the family I was gone from the football, and no, they're saying, will you just tell everybody you're gone? I was like, yeah, I will, look, when the time is right. And you know, and then my mum looked at me the last thing. I was like, are you thinking about going back? And I was like, well, look, it's in the head. Like, you know, I'm not going to lie, it's in the head. She's like, oh, Jesus, you're having a midlife crisis, Owak, here, and you're going on 35. You're playing basketball, you're 4 nights a week at this. You have 2 young daughters. I've an amazing wife, thanks be to God, who keeps the show on the road. And, you know, she goes, are you really thinking about, you know, even contemplating this? Because, you know, for them, I was kind of telling them, you won't have to deal with the abuse in the stands and Donaghy is this and Donaghy is that. You won't have to deal
with
this.
Sorry about that.
You're all right. I understand it. Believe me, I've been at games. I know the score. And just even my mom and just the stress they go through for us, you know, and even Cullum last night talking about his mom and dad and his sister and brother talking, and they were kind of saying, you know, Cullum is the baby in the house, but you know, we all play the 70 minutes because he's ours, and we have to listen to the, you know, it's great to listen to the plaudits, but we have to listen to the tough stuff, you know, about media or reports or even just in the stands. In the stands is the one that hurts because people don't, you know, you can't expect 85,000 people to go in and say, oh, you don't say anything about any player in the pitch now, because you never know, their mum might be sitting right in front of you and you're roaring expletives in their ear. But that's the game. We know the score. We know that, and we tell them that, and we say, look, just, you know, never get involved. Just smile it off. It's a fan cheering on another, or cheering against somebody else. Don't worry about it. They don't really mean it. I don't think they do anyway. But yeah, it's look, it's the thought process on it is I'm probably doing too much for the age I am.
Here, you could be getting an All-Star next Friday night, so it's not going too bad.
I don't think so. But we'll. It's great to be. Look, it was great to get a nomination, and I probably in my own head, you know, cements the decision I made last year to go back, and that I wasn't, you know, that I could still help the team. And look, it was a disappointing year the way it finished. But look, Kerry, the good thing about Kerry is Kerry will always be back.
Yeah, and you'll be back, and we'll hopefully talk to you as the winter goes on a bit more about the basketball as well. Hopefully you'll be involved in National Cups weekend in January as well. We have the NCAA teams in Belfast on the first weekend in December. It's been brilliant to come in. I know it was a long night at the Intercontinental at Gucci's testimonial. Thanks a lot for coming in.
Not about
and
it. Thanks
best of luck with
me.
The season.
Appreciate
Cheers,
it, Nathan. You're the man.
Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.